Swami always used to narrate sometimes the story of the Yogakshemam Vahameham, that I will bear the burden of my devotee's problems and take him across this ocean of samsara to the goal of moksha or merger in the divinity. And Swami once gave the example of, in these sessions, about the case of Draupadi. When Bhishma had taken the vow that next day he will, in the Mahabharata war, he will kill all the Pandavas. Then Draupadi came to Krishna, and we know the episode that Krishna carried the sandals in his hands and said, Draupadi, if you go with these sandals, they will make a particular noise and Bhishma may know that you are approaching. Go and take the boon of Mangalyam without him knowing that it is you who is coming.
Yes.
And after the boon was granted and Bhishma was surrendered and said, Lord, it is only you who can do this drama. Then he said, Lord, what are you carrying in your hands? What are you hiding in your arms? Is this something which Kunti has given for us to all eat? He said, no, 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 these are only the sandals of Draupadi. And hearing this, Bhishma and broke down and fell at his Krishna's feet. So these beautiful lessons that, you know, if you really do, and you know, one of the occasions, I just end with this. One day, Swami gave a discourse. And the discourse, Swami talked on number of occasions, master your mind and become a mastermind. So we heard this, but I was not able to grasp the sense of this. And to ask questions to Bhagwan sometimes can be a little sensitive because Swami may be in a different mood, focused upon the elders who are there. So, but you know, this question was raging in my mind. And Swami gave a brief of the same discourse inside in the session. As you said, after the post-bhajan session in the evening.
Yes.
And Swami asked any questions. He looked towards the elders, but I raised my hand. No, sometimes you have to take spiritual risk. And this was one of them. And with a beating heart, I asked Swami, Swami, I have one question. And Swami said, what is it? Amira? He asked seriously. The heartbeat became even stronger. I said, Swami told in the discourse, master the mind, become a mastermind. Swami, how do we become a mastermind? Tell us the easiest way of doing it. And Swami just smiled a little bit. I got my breath back. Okay, Swami is not upset with my question at the wrong time. And Swami said, good question. To master the mind and become the mastermind, love God more and more. He gave a gap and then he said, and the best way to love God is to love all and serve all. I think the essence of all the Vedas, all the scriptures, because what can come between us and God is ultimately our mind. And the mind can only be overcome. We can become masterminds, not by trying to overcome the mind, but by diverting the mind completely to the love of God, because of which automatically we will. And that is not enough. If we are self-centered, we have to expand this love. And this is what happened actually another day. As somebody asked Swami, how do we know that we have made spiritual progress? And Swami said, ask yourself every evening, do you love more people? Has your aura of love expanded? Are you loving people more selflessly? And if the answer is yes, you have spiritually evolved that particular day. Otherwise not. So beautiful moment.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brother Deepak. I think everything that you shared, every anecdote is so revealing.
And if I can just share one quick experience, in fact, to add to what Deepak brother just said. Again, there was a topic about mastering the mind. Mm-hmm. There was a discussion actually. This is not in 86 trip, but this was in 89 trip when I had the second chance to go to Kodaikanal with Bhagwan during my MBA. Actually, this particular trip in Kodai was slightly different in the sense that there were many elders, highly scholarly elders who have joined this trip, likes of Professor Anil Kumar, of course Professor Jayamagaru, and many others, many elders who've seen a lot of world, especially who've been wonderful professors in our university and wonderful people in terms of their experiences and all. That particular session, that particular trip, Swami used to actually organize these debates between the elders, rather. Mm-hmm. Men on one side and the women on the other side. And Swami would say, okay, here is a topic for you. Can you both discuss?
Wow.
And debate on this particular topic. And then Swami would be the judge, finally, to summarize the whole thing. And then say, okay, this is how it should be, and this is what is correct, and that's how. So one particular day, as Brother Deepak took the topic, there was this topic that Swami has given, how do you master the mind? And of course, people have given their own experiences of what Swami taught and how Swami taught. And then end of the session, Swami made it very simple, you know, although the scholarly debates and discussions didn't really make sense to me, you know, as, I mean, they were all going above my head, to be honest. But when Swami puts it, you know, he puts it in such a simple way that even a child can actually understand. Swami said, master the mind, and Swami said, and Swami used the same example. He said, bend the body, mend the senses, and end the mind. And that's how you can end the mind, and that's when you are master of your mind, and there's no mind as such. That's when you are the master. But how do you bend the body? And this is exactly what Swami said. Bending the body does not mean just bending it or doing your exercises. And Swami stretched his hands and made a little humor. But then Swami also said, bending the body means actually serving the people. And that's where I say, you know, you have to serve all. And when do you serve all?
Fantastic.
Only when you can love.
Can love all.
Yeah. That's exactly how Swami went about, and it really got stuck into my heart, I can say that. And really wonderful, wonderful way of putting it across.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I think one interesting part of every Kodai troop was that Swami always had a few boys who were good in music. There were always members of the Prashanti Bhajan group who were blessed to be part of the Kodai team. And fortunately, in our team here, there is a singer, Sai Krishna. Sai Krishna, can you please recall any indelible memories concerning how your Kodai trip had that musical element? We will come to Siddhartha also, another singer in this team.
Actually, our Kodai trip, if you see, all the 23 days were filled with only music.
Wow. So,
all other people who were sitting there, you know, we were like maybe three of us or four of us who were there. And we were going on singing, morning, evening, morning, evening. And all others who were sitting used to get actually, when we will get that, you know, and why are we not singers? And even though we were not, let me just be very honest, because at that time, not that we are good now, but at that time we were like, amateur to the core. I can like how many infinite, I don't know, whatever. Because that you might all know P. Sushila Garu. She was there, sitting there across the hall. We are just singing. In, I mean, she sang for so many concerts, so many events in front of Swami, and her voice is so pure and so awesome. And we were all just nothing. But Swami gave us that lift, that confidence in us to present to Him, to offer to Him, whatever little we learned. And that trip was really very musical, and there are many songs in the trip which Swami used to enjoy, and especially last time I think I mentioned about Madhuramona.
Yes, yeah.
And when Madhuramona was going on, Swami used to keep asking, Nik Challagalilo Ocha.
Mm-hmm.
Used to keep asking me, and my brother Om Prasad was there, he was also a singer. Used to keep asking us, Miku Challagalila Ocha.
Do you know Challagalila?
Yeah. I never knew about that song. I never heard about that song. And Swami told, Idi kuda Rajeshwara Rao composed chesadu. Means that Madhuramona was written by Adinarayana Rao Garu, famous lyricist and music composer. And it was composed and sung by Rajeshwara Rao Garu. I never knew about the song. So I made an attempt. I called up my mother, who is in Hyderabad, and said, you just go to any music store in Hyderabad and ask for Challagalilo. It may not be a movie song. It could be a private song. Just search. My mother searched all over Hyderabad and she couldn't get Challagalilo cassette. Then Swami used to hum the tune little bit, but we never caught the tune that much that Swami liked. Then Swami told, you have to learn this song. I like this song so much. At the end of the trip, almost he said, you never learn what I say.
Like, oh,
it began, you, I wanted this song and you never learned it.
Like, oh my God. It's like a mother.
Then we came back to Puttaparthi. Then what happened? My mother happened to ask some of her colleagues, and one of them happened to have a cassette of Rajeshwara Garu singing Challagalilo. So that cassette we got, and Raviteja sir would remember, me, Om Prasad, Raviteja sir, we all used to go to music college, sit in one room, and every day practice chalagali, little bit. And then one day Swami came over to college auditorium as a part of a bigger plan of his, and he heard this song. He said, first time, he said, it's okay, you have to improve. Then as days went by, if you really get to see the video, sometime maybe we can upload it on our website, radioset.org. Yeah, sure. When you see that song, when Swami is enjoying, you can just imagine Swami's big hair, you know, lots of hair, and Swami's small face, and then he sways, you know, that tune goes, Chalagalilo, tak 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 tak. You can listen to the song, actually. We can move on to the song.
Yeah.
And after that, we sang this song in front of Swami umpteen number of times, and he loved it a lot. I think listeners will also love it.
Yeah, we do have the song here, and dear listeners, let's listen to that.
నన్నరయు చన్నుగవ మురుపులవే మురిసి మురిసి నా వెనుక కరిసి కనుమూయుచి బురు చెంగేలులివే మూయుచి బురు చెంగేలులివే చల్లగాలిలో యమునా తటిపై శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి మురళి శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి చల్లగాలిలో యమునా తటిపై శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి మురళి శ్యామ సుందరుని మురళి చల్లగాలిలో
Wasn't that beautiful? You can actually imagine the breeze playing with Swami's beautiful copious hair. And I think that is one of the special things of Kodaikanal. You see the beautiful Lord in the lap of nature, where nature is so pristine and so serene. Imagine you're standing in the midst of a cloud and posing for a picture with Swami. Or Swami so sweetly drawing a flower close to his cheeks and asking you to come next to him and then taking a snap. Well, that is what is Kodaikanal. That is what is so fabulous about this trip. And as if these were not enough, Bhagwan's love is so fantastic. He should create opportunities for all of us to enjoy even more. And how? He should send us for shopping. He should send us for horse riding, boating, sightseeing and so on. I think all of us have experienced that other beautiful aspect of Kodaikanal. Siddharth, can you please share some of these aside experiences?
The Kodaikanal trip is typically like a family vacation with your near and dear. So Swami makes it complete by giving you everything that you would get, or even more than what you would get. Like how Sai Krishna was talking about giving, Swami used to give us quilts. He used to give us razors and aftershave for us to use. You know, typically what boys would need when they're on a break. And apart from the sightseeing that he used to take us, he used to also send us for boating, which is very famous in Kodaikanal, the Kodaikanal Lake.
Yes.
He used to send us for horse riding. And the highlight of the trip would be the shopping expedition.
Yes.
For which Swami himself would give us our pocket money. He would personally give us each money to take out for shopping. So one afternoon, boys go out for shopping. And the best part of the shopping trip is when you come back, you know that the next session, you get an opportunity to sit and show Swami what you bought for shopping after you went shopping. And Swami would be more excited than us to see what we have bought.
Yes.
You know, that was... What
I know.
Really wonderful session would be the post-shopping expedition. When we had gone, just a small aside, 2 days prior to that, Swami was apparently having a mouth ulcer. Mm-hmm. And he was not eating too well. And the reason he gave was that he was having a mouth ulcer. That was...
What he
just,
said.
Yeah, that's what he said. Let's keep that aside. Just like how Swami has told, like there might be as many number of people are there, there are that many paths of devotion towards God. Like that, I learned a lesson on that day after we came back from shopping, that as many devotees as Swami has, each of us loves Swami in our own special way, which is very independent or very characteristic to us in our relationship with Swami, which is never identical. So there are about 40 of us. All of us had bought something for Swami. And this was not planned. It was not like we told each other, let's all remember to buy something for Swami. Each of us in our own hearts had wanted to offer something to Swami. And if you see the kind of gifts that were offered to Swami, no two gifts were the same. And there was everything that you could imagine. Someone bought very fine muslin handkerchief, white handkerchief for Swami. Someone else had bought a bag for Swami to take letters, keep letters in the interview room or when he goes for darshan. Someone had bought a bag for keeping vibhuti packets. Someone else had bought a conch in which they had inscribed, "We love you, Swami."
Mm-hmm.
I bought a foot cushion for Swami. I bought an orange shawl for Swami.
Beautiful.
And one of the gifts, which still till date is one of the most memorable and more emotional moments for me, is one of the brothers had bought something for Swami, which none of us had thought of. He got up and none of the gifts... Swami never took those gifts which we got him. He blessed it and he said, please take it back, give it to your parents, they'll be happy. But this boy is the only boy who bought something, and he got up and he said, Swami, I've got something for you. Swami said, what? He said, Swami, this is a gel. If you put this on your mouth ulcer, it'll heal faster.
Oh my God.
And he went to great extent to try to persuade Swami to take in that gift. And that exchange of love was a sight. It still gives me goosebumps when I think about it. How innocent love can get. We were all thinking of what would Swami use. Swami could use a back cushion, foot cushion, kerchief, cover, whatnot. But here was someone who thought of what Swami can use that day. He bought smile mouth ulcer gel. He did give the gift to Swami. Swami did take it. We don't know if Swami used it.
Yeah, but I think Swami definitely accepted.
Accepted that, love. That offering of love.
Yes.
So shopping trip, that's what typically happens.
Fantastic. I think each of us have these moments of reliving and interacting with Swami with all these gifts. Even I remember in the 99 Kora, each one of us showing Swami about these the sari that he bought for a mother or father. And I remember there's one boy who narrated how he had bought two earrings for his sisters, and Swami said, no, these are not so good, I'll give you better ones. And he created and he gave very beautiful golden earrings for his sisters, and apparently this boy didn't have a mother, and Swami as usual was showering. And that's what I think every person has, this touching moments where off and on you would see the fascinating facet of Swami's motherly love, and at the same time how he would reveal his divinity.